Okay, good evening, everybody. Being that this is the last Thursday night shiur prior to Pesach, I thought I'd discuss a Haggadah issue. If anyone's interested, I will be giving a shiur in lieu of a Shabbos Haggadah drasha this coming Sunday evening at this same Zoom channel at 8 o'clock, Be'ez Hashem, on the topic of the Seder, the Pesach Seder, as a demonstration of Emunah. So that'll be Sunday night, Ms. Shabbat, 8 o'clock. So if you've been turning over your kitchen and so on and need a break Sunday evening, please join us at the same Zoom Zoom site. What I want to speak about this evening relates to the Afikoman, not specifically eating the Afikoman, but rather the prohibition to partake of anything after the eating of the Afikoman. If you look in the first of the sources, those who have the sources, and again, it's posted in the chat. It says, Chacham, by the Arba Bonim, the wise son asks, Chacham Mahu Omer, in the first source, what are all these laws and all these statutes which Hashem has commanded to you, and so on, right? Which is a pasuk in Chumash, in Parshat Eschan and Chumash Dvarim. The answer is Afata Emelo Kilchas Pesach Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman. The answer given to the Ben Chacham, to the wise child, is Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikoman. And we can ask, and many commentaries do ask, and wonder why is that the response of all things? That why is that the response to the Ben Chacham? Some have pointed out, the Vilagon, others pointed out that in the Rambam's Girsa of the Haggadah, it actually says, Ad. The word ad is added because, as we'll see in a moment, that phrase ein maftir nachar pesach avikomen is from the Mishnah, and it's one of the last Mishnayos in Maseches Pesachim. So the idea is, when you have a wise son, a wise child is able to learn, so you can teach him everything up until and through, including. There's actually one other Mishnah after that, but it's not really a common Pesach issue. So it means teach him everything up until and including this law. Okay, so as we said, this is a Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim, 10th Parak of Pesachim, Source 2, Kuf Yud Tes, Amud Beis in Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach HaFikomen. So it's a phrase that we know. That's the answer given Ben Chacham. The question is, what does that mean exactly? What do you mean, Ein Maftirin Achar HaPesach HaFikomen? What does the phrase mean? So Rashi comments, and the Rashbam also, and that the Gemara Pesachim Kufi Utes HaBeis, the word Maftirin is Lashon HaNiftar Mechaveri, when you take leave of somebody. Rachmana Litzlan, when somebody dies, we refer to the person as a Niftar, okay, and at the same root, the idea is Niftar, when you take leave of somebody. So the word Ein Maftirin, in this case, just like, by the way, the Maftir is when we take leave of the Torah reading, right? The Maftir at the end of the Torah reading. So that's what the term means. So Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach HaFikomen is we, Lashon Niftar Mechaver, Kishen Niftarin Min Hasuda, okay? Normally, when Kishen Niftarin Min Hasuda, when you take leave of the meal, meaning it's a fancy way of saying by the end of the meal, so it says, Mevi'in Mine Mesika. When you come to the end of the meal, people bring out the sweets, right? Dessert, nice sweet dessert. We call it dessert. That's why I entitled the shiur Just Desserts, okay? Eating and drinking after the Afikoman. So you bring out desserts, Mine Mesika. And another Rashbam says more or less the same thing. And what this Mishnah means, Rashbam elaborates, is Lashon Niftar Mechaver Komar Keshavtar Mesura Ein Misayin Oson Bafikomen. This time, Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikomen. Ordinarily, we often end our meals by having some kind of sweet food for dessert. This time, the Leil HaSeder, we do not have anything at the end of the meal after the Karban Pesach. The Afikomen is another word for Afikuman Mine Mesika. Okay, so in other words, we don't conclude our meal on Pesach night with, with sweets and with a dessert. If you look in the commentary of Rav Avadya Bar Tanur on that Mishnah in Pesachim, it's Parak Yud in Pesachim, as I said before, Mishnah Ches. He has a number of different interpretations, which we'll see. Maftir and Ishamati Loshen Yaftiru quotes a pasuk where again means somehow means taking leave. Okay. I'm sorry, Maftir means something else in that pasuk, but he says, V'rabosai pirshu loshon nifta mechavero, kishniftar min asuda, ein misayman osam afikomen, and the word afikomen is afiku monaichu. Two words, afiku monaichu, bring out a portion. A mana is a portion, like mishloach monos, right? Shalach monos is a portion. So we don't bring out, we don't say bring out this portion, right? And on the other hand, the word monaichu also, he says, can mean your utensils, your items, a mana, like we have in Shabbos, Hilchos Shabbos, tikkun mana, fixing an item, okay, a utensil. So afiko monaichu can mean take out. Afiko means to bring out. Take out monaichu, your utensils. What does that mean? Klomar totzi klecha mikan v'nelech v'necho mokom acher. Okay, you might say, let me go out now. Let me take all my silverware and my pots and pans and utensils, whatever else, and go finish eating. We'll make sense of all this in a moment. We'll go finish eating someplace else. Okay, we don't do that. That's what he says. Afiko monaichu. Not miloshon monet. That's the second interpretation of the one we had earlier, also. And he says, "Gzera dima osil amechar amen pesach shnei mekomos." We'll get to that. Avalechol dvar macherim, but mekoma arishon shari. But to eat something else, what we call dessert, where you are, that's not the problem. Okay. And then the other interpretation: isquer amad meforshi ein rafterach pesach afikom and afikum minei mesika. Okay, don't bring out any food. So two different interpretations of Martinor cites for the term afikomen. Okay, both based on afiku monaichu. Afiku monaichu can mean take out your utensils. We don't say take out your utensils. We'll see in a moment what that means. Or it refers to food, dessert. Don't bring out any sweet treats for dessert. Okay? And the reason why, he says, we'll come back to this too, so yavid tama pesach mipiv, because you don't want to have anything sweet, because you don't want the carbon pesach flavor to be removed from your mouth by means of eating other things, other sweet things, and so on. V'chein ikar, so that's the main interpretation. What's he referring to? So this is a Gemara in Psachim, on that same page, Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Psachim. This will be source number 6. The Gemara itself asks, "My afikomen? What is meant by afikomen?" The Mishnah says, "Ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen." What does that word mean? It's an unusual word. We've heard of it because we know it from Pesach, but it's an unusual word. So comes along the Gemara and says, "Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav, shelo ye'akru mechabura lechabura." You're not allowed to go from one place, one group to another. Chabura means a group, but in the context of Pesach, it means a group which has gotten together to bring and to subsequently eat the meat from the carbon Pesach. We know from the Pesukim in the Torah that not every individual Jew brought his own carbon Pesach. You would have a lamb, a Paschal lamb, a carbon Pesach was brought by a family, sometimes a couple of families got together, and so on. That group is called a Chabura. So you're not allowed to go from one chabura to another. We'll see in a moment. That's what Rav says. So when that's ein maftir nachar pesach afikomen, means after you have the afikomen, you don't, at the end of the meal, you don't go to eat someplace else. We'll explain in a moment what it means. Ushmuel amar, Shmuel says, no, it's got nothing to do with that. It's called ardel I leave, it goes la'il abo. It is a reference to, again, some form of, shall we say, some form of dessert. He would eat Ardalai Abba. Abba is Rav. Rav's name. Rav was not his name. Rav was his nickname. He was called Abba. That was his real name. So he would like to eat Ardalo, which is some sort of a mushroom, something like that, some kind of a vegetable. He would eat these at the end of his meal, you know, as a kind of dessert. Ardalo leave, goes Laila Abba. Abba is Rav. He would have a little piece of meat, a pigeon, some kind of a chicken. Okay, at the end of his meal. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but in any event, this is the suggestion that Rav and Shmuel make, and they're both very, very different. They're very different. They're very different interpretations, because according to Rav, it has to do with moving from one place to another. Let's take a look at the Rashbam.
Rabbi, you can't deny that afikuman. Sorry, I'm sorry to interrupt. By the way,
yeah,
I apologize.
Yeah, go ahead.
Afikuman, it clearly means like, you know, bring me dessert. So the shot is that you can't deny that it means, like, you know,
no,
bring us dessert.
According to Rav, the word man or mone refers to an item. Afiku means take out your utensils.
That's but it's still like, it's still interruption. It's still like a break in a meal, meaning do something.
Let's see what the issue is. Let's see. So you look at the Rashbam in source number 8. Okay, the Rashbam right there, Pesachim Kufi Tesam Beis, he elaborates. Rav says the concern is, Amar Rav, Shaliyaku b'chabura chabura, Achar she'ochla Pesach b'chabura, lo yelchu b'chabura acheres. After, I'm after an Achar Pesach, after you have eaten the Korban Pesach, okay, you're not allowed to go and eat something somewhere else. Gzeira dilma osi lamecha, it's a Pesach b'shnei mekomos. Okay, there's a technical rule regarding the Korban Pesach that you can't. He refers to a Mishnah earlier, which we'll see in a second. You can't ochel ochel Pesach b'shnei mekomot. You can't eat the Korban Pesach in two different places. One of the rules of Korban Pesach, we'll see where it comes from. And the concern is that if after eating your Korban Pesach in your home, you're going to go, you know, like again, picture for a moment. Sometimes people do that on a regular, shall we say, on a. I mean, right now we're unfortunately restricted from doing these kinds of things. But sometimes, let's say on a Friday night, you know, or you go over the neighbors and have dessert, right? You know, you have your Shabbos meal. But let's say, especially maybe in the wintertime when it's a long Friday night, so you're finished, you pop over to the neighbor and have a bite at the neighbor's house. Or let's say on sukkah, sometimes people, you know, they finish their meal, they go into the neighbor's sukkah to say hello and so on. So this is the type of thing which. People would do. So there's a concern on Leil Pesach, a particular concern on Leil Pesach, that you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach in two different places, a technical rule. And that's what Rav says is meant by afikoman, afikuman, take your utensils. Don't do it. Don't take your utensils. And this is only in terms of eating. However, the third line of Source 8, the Rashbam says, if you've already done eating, you've benched, and the meal's over, then you can go and the neighbors can get together to say Hallel together, for example, to finish the Seder together. That's okay after you've already eaten. Okay. However, says the Rashbam, in the name explaining Rav, Avalechol Dvorim Acherin B'Mokomon Harishon, but to eat more food where you are, even after the Korban Pesach was eaten, that's okay. That's not what's meant by Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Avikomen according to Rav. You want to have dessert after you eat the Korban Pesach dessert to eat. The only concern is don't go somewhere else because this concern you'll end up eating the Korban Pesach meat in two different places. Okay, but in the same place, no problem whatsoever. Okay, and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan both disagree, and they say no. As Rashbam continues, the fourth line, behind the polig alev Shmuel Rabbi Yechonah v'Amar kol dover osu lechol afilu b'chavura osu rishona. No, the rule of Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen is even applicable in your original house where you are. It's not a matter of going over to the neighbors and to join a different chabura and to eat with them. No, even in your own place, b'chavura osu rishona. Okay. And the idea is that according to Shmuel, then the next Rashbam explains what they used to have for dessert and so on. And he holds, Shmuel holds, as the Rashbam in the next Dibur Maaseh Gaon Ardeli says, for the bottom of the page, three lines up, yeah. It says, V'loshon afikomen hotziu v'hiviyo mina mesika. That's how he interprets it. That's Shmuel. And, of course, Shmuel doesn't disagree, because as we'll see in a moment, that's a rule by the Korban Pesach. Shmuel doesn't disagree and say, no, you are allowed to go eat the Korban Pesach somewhere else. That's true, but that's got nothing to do with Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. Okay? He says, Afil b'chubar chaburaso selechol klum achar Pesach. You can't have anything to eat, even in your own home, in your own chabura, after the Korban Pesach. So you abed menu tam, yovad menu tam Pesach, you don't lose the flavor of the Tama Pesach. And Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel agree. So these are two different interpretations of what it means by Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. What is this rule by the Korban Pesach? So you look in source number 9, on the next page, that's a Pesach in Parshas Bo. Regarding the Korban Pesach, Peri Yud Beis Shmos Pesach Zayin, it says, Hadam Habatim Oso Bahem, the houses. Okay, but that's in terms of as a group, so to speak, as the Gemara will dash here in a second. But the Pasuk Memvav, in Source 9, the Parakut Beis Shmo says, Bebayis Echad Ye Ochel. You have to eat it in one place. Lo Sotzi Min Habayis Min Habasar Chutza. That's a Losish Brubo. So that's a rule of the Korban Pesach. That second Pasuk is from the lane in the first day of Yontif. So the Gemara has a drosha in Psochem, Pei Vav Amin Aleph, Source number 10. The Gemara has a drosha. But you can't eat in two different places. You could register for, you could be one of the menu in two different chaburos. That's a technical rule. But again, the main thing for us is you can't eat it in two different places. Okay, that's what Rashi in Source 11 explains in Psochem Peivav Aleph. Ala Batim Asher Yochol So Mashma Shnei Bnei Adam Ochen Pesach Echad B'Shtei Batim. Okay, But again, that's what comes out. And that's how the Rambam paskins. Again, there's a local din, a technical din. The Rambam in 12, Hilchos Korban Pesach, Parak Tesalach Aleph, Kol Ocham and a Pesach, Eno Ocha Ela Bechabur Achas, Ve'ein Motziyan Mimenam and a Chabur Shiochaba, Ba'motziyan of Kazayas Bosom and Chabur Lachabur, Belachabishos Aloka. And also in Halacha, hey, Ve'ein that car Mechabur Lachabur. You don't move around. Okay, and therefore, this is the according to Rav, that's what's meant by Ein Maftir Nachar Pesach Avikomen. But when you stay put in your own home, then you're allowed to eat a dessert or whatever else you want after the Avikomen. You can have your after Seder mints or whatever else you would enjoy having at the end of the you know the Kosher Pesach jelly tarts or whatever it is that you like eating. That's perfectly okay according to Rav to eat following the consumption of the Korban Pesach. And furthermore, you look at the Mechilta. Source 13 of Mechilta B'Shom V'Yochai on that pasuk Perik Yudbeis pasuk Memvav Mechilta says Lo Sotan Abayis Masar B'Shas Achila. Okay, that's only a concern when you're still eating, but after you, like we mentioned, the Rav said before, and the Rashbam explained it, that after you already finished eating, you want to go to another place to say Hallel. That's okay. Also, that's how the Tosefton Pesachim says in Perik Vav Alach Hates in source 14. It's only Hamotzi, Kazayas, Bosu, Bias, and Bias, Chabur, Chabur, B'Shas Achila. Okay? But after the Shas Achila, you want to go to another place, that's okay. So all this, according to Rav, this is a limited din with regard to the Korban Pesach. You're not allowed to eat another place. And that's the din of Ein Maftir and Achar Pesach Avikomen, where Shmuel says no, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel, that you're not allowed to eat Ein Maftir and Achar Pesach Avikomen means even in the same place where you are. Okay? Now, what would be, well, you know, what's perhaps some of the idea behind this? So it's important to understand, we have to bear in mind, as we'll see in a moment, that the Korban Pesach was actually eaten towards the end of the meal. In the days when they had the Korban Pesach was not the main course. Was not the main course at the Seder Suda in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. Korban Pesach was actually eaten, what we call Al HaSova, when you're already somewhat satiated. Doesn't mean you're stuffed, but it means you're pretty satiated already. Where does that come from? So we look in Parshas Re'eh, source number 15, Parshas Re'eh, Dvarim Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Beis. The Pasuk says, V'zavachta Pesach Hashem Alkecha Tzon Uvakar. It's Parshas Re'eh, it's the laning, the last day of Pesach. It says over there, you bring the Korban Pesach, Tzon Uvakar. Tzon Uvakar. So some raise the question, Rashi, others raise the question, wait a second, what do you mean Tzon Uvakar? Cattle, Tzon is the smaller animal, sheep, and Bakar are bigger animals. The Pasuk and Parshas Bo in 16, Shmos Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Hey says, Se Somim Zachar Ben Shani Alechem in Akvosim Menehizim Tikachu. That's Tzon. That's not the Tzon and Bakar. Only Korban Pesach has to come from Tzon. So Rashi and Parshas Re'eh in source 17 is sensitive to that. And that Pasuk, Perek Tzayin, Pasuk Beis, Rashi says, Zavachta Pesach Tzon, right? That's the Korban Pesach. Because as it says, Minakvos Menezim Tikachu. So where does Bakar come into the picture, which is a bigger animal? That's not kosher for the Korban Pesach. So how could it be? So Rashi says, Tizbuk l'chagiga. There was something called the Chagigas Yuddal, Chagigas Arbaasar. Even though it's not specifically identified in the Torah, the halacha is that on the Erev Pesach, in addition to Erev Pesach, is the 14th of Nisan, so next Wednesday afternoon, they would bring the Korban Pesach, but in addition, they would bring what's called the Chagigas Arbaasar, Chagigas Yuddal, a Korban Chagiga, in the afternoon as well. And that Chagiga, that's what Rashi says, the Chagiga, Shim Nimro ala Pesach Abur Maruba Mavim Imo Chagiga, Teshenech ala Sova. Okay, if you have, basically you have a lot of people, so they would bring a Korban Chagiga as well, so that would be the main course. That's a bigger animal. You have more meat, a lot of people grouped together, and you would eat it ala Sova. Rashi, of course, doesn't make that up. That's the Gemara in, it's a Gemara in Psachim, in the next source, source 18. Psachim daf ayin amud aleph. It says kidetanya chagiga b'am pesach nechel as tchila. The chagiga meat that was eaten first. That was like your main course. Kidei she'a pesach nechel al hasofa, so that you would have an you would not be starved. You'd be somewhat full already when you ate the Korban Pesach. Why is that important? So Rashi explains in the next source in 19. Rashi says you nenen b'chilasos, so you'll enjoy the eating. What does it mean? Because when you're ravenous and you're famished. Okay, you just, many of us just kind of wolf down the food. You don't even enjoy what you're eating. You're so starved, right? So, you know, that's why we have such a concept called an appetizer, right? You have an appetizer before the meal. You're really hungry, so you come to the restaurant, sit down at the table, and you have an appetizer. That's kind of like just to, so to speak, whet your appetite. You eat something, so when the main course comes, then you'll really enjoy it, because a lot of other times when you're really starved, okay, and let's face it, Pesach night, you could be pretty hungry. Okay, it was, you know, in the olden days, they brought the korban in the afternoon, and then the evening would come, so you had the Seder, and even today, we haven't eaten. The practice is not to eat too much on our Pesach in the afternoon, and now you're going to have the whole Seder until you get up to the Matzah Namar. You know, that little piece of karpas doesn't do much in terms of, getting rid of your appetite. So you don't want to go ahead and eat the korban Pesach when you're ravenous and just kind of wolf it down, because then you don't enjoy it. So you eat something else first, okay? Careful not to stuff yourself, but you eat something else first and you'll have an enjoyment from the korban Pesach. That's how Rashi explained. You look in Source 20, the Rambam tells us, again, in Perek Ches of Hilchos Korban Pesach, the Rambam says, mitzvah min amuvchar, the proper mitzvah, the way to do it, the mitzvah in Amuvchar is lechol b'sara Pesach achila sova. It doesn't go so far as to say you're not yotze if you eat the korban Pesach meat first, you know, and wolf it down. But he says the mitzvah in Amuvchar is to eat it when you've already ala sova, and therefore lefichem hikriv shalmei chagiga bar basar. You brought the shalmei chagiga, the korban chagiga, the korban shalmei on erev Pesach on 14 in the afternoon. You ochal mehen tchila b'chakach ochal b'sara Pesach kidei lisbar mimenu. So that's what fills you up. Okay, words, you have the korban chagiga meets the appetizer, so to speak, and then the korban Pesach, the Rambam's lashon is kidei lisbar mimenu. Okay, now the Rambam, his language is a little different. Rashi said eat it ala sofa. So Soloveitchik and others pointed out, when the Rambam says kidei lisbar mimenu, that you should become full, and this is really the Rambam is hinting at that's the sheet of Shmuel. Because what did Shmuel say? Shmuel says, Rav said a local din, the only concern of Ein Maftir and Achar Pesach Avikomen is you shouldn't take your utensils and your food and go to the neighbor's house. A technical din with relating to the Korban Pesach. But according to Shmuel, okay, the din is you're not allowed to eat anything after the Korban Pesach. Why? Because the Korban Pesach has Rambam day lisboa mimenu. That's what's filling you up. That should be the thing to eat that satiates you. So you don't know how to eat anything. You don't need anything afterwards. Okay, that's that's how the Rambam may be learning. Now, up until this point, we could argue that, okay, this, again, even according to Shmuel, it would seem to be a kind of a local din with regards to the Korban Pesach, and perhaps none of this would have be particularly relevant nowadays, when we unfortunately do not have a Beis HaMikdash. However, if you look further in the next source, before I get to that, I just want to mention a couple other points regarding the word Afikomen. Just a couple of technical points regarding the word Afikomen. So the Rambam in the Perish HaMishnah, in Pesachim Perek Yud, Mishnah Ches 21, the Rambam writes, Afikomen heim haperos, that's the fruits, shemaftirim ben achar achila, which you usually have after eating. Kigon, hazironim, seeds, and kluyim, and tainim, and figs, and raisins, and all this type of stuff. Nuts, you know, dessert, the dessert platter you get from old nuts. Okay, that's what the Afikomen means. Rabbi Kiva Eger, there in the Mishnah Pesach and Perakud Mishnah, hey, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, an Osnun Aleph, he has Afikomen, he has a Greek word. Say for Tish, because of, some kind of a Greek word, Shaloshin Yovan. Okay, it's some kind of I guess we know that now, but it's some kind of an old Greek word. That's what the Rabbi Kiva Eger argues, and that's where the word Afikomen comes from. And these ideas of Afikuman and all that are nice ideas, you know, in Aramaic, but in actuality, it's based on a Greek word, Jeloshon Yovan, Afikumam Nikor Suda Gedola. So it's a Greek word for dessert. Never mind the plays on words in Aramaic. It's a Greek word for dessert. That's what Bikiv Eger says. And even earlier than Bikiv Eger, there was a Greek Eger, the Orchas Chaim in the Chelek Aleph Seder Leil Pesach, Oschof Ches, 23. Also, he says, you know, you should eat alasov and everything. And at the end, he also writes, Afikomen below klum. The Greek word there means not anything. That's what the word, the way that Kiva Eger, it was a different Greek or a different dialect, or they had a different tradition of what's in the Greek. Whatever it is, he said, that means don't eat anything. Afikomen is Greek for nothing else. Okay, whatever it is, the Ma'aril also has a totally different interpretation. The Ma'aril in 24, Afikuman, He has this from the word. It's something about sleeping, you know, going to sleep. We should go not do anything but go to sleep. Okay, different interpretations of the word. But as I said before, this would seem to have little bearing on our behavior today when there is no Korban Pesach. Certainly according to Rav, who said that the whole concern was you're not supposed to go to your neighbors and finish the meal over there and so on, as people sometimes perhaps would do on a regular Shabbos and Yom Tov. You don't do that on Pesach because the Korban Pesach, special rule about the Korban Pesach, as we saw from the Gemara Pesach and Daf Ayin, and the Rambam Paskin that one Nichols Korban Pesach Parakhes. And according to Shmuel, it would also seem to be a rule about the Pesach. That should be the last thing that you eat after eating the meat from the Korban Chagiga, neither of which we have today. Okay, so
can I ask, can I interject with one thing, Rabbi?
Yes.
Also, I'm sorry, I know you're on a roll here, but like, they didn't have two more kosos also. So we had like, we have two more kosos.
Well, we'll get to the kosos.
Saying, but like, yeah, okay, fine.
A different structure altogether. But here's the point. We look now in source 25, Gav Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis in Psachim. Lo and behold, the Gemara says, Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen. Okay, Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel. Okay, Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel. What is this now? Source 25. Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel. Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah. Same Shmuel. That's Shmuel, right? Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel. Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen. So the Gemara asks, 1 second. That's not what it says in the Mishnah. Ein Maftirin Achar Tanan. Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikomen. Okay, it's after Pesach. Achar Pesach, Achar Matzah Maftirin. Where does Shmuel make this jump? The Mishnah says, Ein Maftirin Achar Pesach Afikomen. So Amar Behuda Amar Shmuel, also Ein Maftirin Achar Matzah Afikomen. But the Gemara asks, who said? So the Gemara answer means both. Okay, I might have thought that the Korban Pesach is a little different because it has such a strong flavor to it. The matzah has less of a flavor. Anyway, it applies to matzah as well. And Rashi says in the next source, in 26, Ein maftir nachar matzah fikomen, shetzorech lecho matzah gbigmar hasuda. So now we're introduced to a new thing. You also have to eat matzah at the end of the meal. Okay? Zecher le matzah necheles ima pesach bekricha. It's a remembrance of the matzah that they used to eat. Let's remember that in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate matzah together with the meat from the Korban Pesach. According to some, that was in the Korach sandwich. Some say the Korach sandwich was only matzah and mar. Others say it was Pesach matzah and mar. It's not our discussion right now. But according to Rashi and the Rashbam, it's Zecher le matzah necheles ima pesach. Okay? And that's the matzah that we eat. And Rashbam also says, "In Raftir Achar Matzah, Kamo Shdarach Lecho Matzah Begmar Sudoso Zeichel Matzah Rechelas Im HaPesach Bekricha." Now, there's a further discussion: is that the Iker Matzah for the Mitzah, or that's just not the Iker Matzah, it's just a Zeicher? So this is a different discussion, not for now. But according to this, when we come out now with the rule of Shmuel. Let's look at the end of the Rashbam in the next page. It's 27. Okay, the Rashbam writes Achar Osa Matzah in Aftir Menav Achilas Dover Acher Shelo Lishkoach or Lishakeach Tamo. So now we mentioned before that one of the reasons you couldn't eat after the Korban Pesach was to keep the flavor of the Korban Pesach in your mouth. Now Shmuel is telling us in the Gemara this is true about the matzah. Also, you should not eat anything after the matzah so as to keep the flavor of the matzah in your mouth. Okay, so now again, this is an extension of the original din, but this, of course, now suddenly becomes much more relevant to us. Okay, and because now it's talking about matzah also, so it's a different point. But what comes out of all of this, just to digress for a quick moment, you know, what comes out of all of this is that actually, you know, the term afikomen that we use before tonight's shir, okay, before tonight's shir, before anything happened tonight, okay. Before I said anything tonight, you ask the average person what is meant by afikomen. So everybody knows, what's the afikomen? Oh, yeah, that's the matzah we eat at the end. Safun, right? Maror Korach, Shulchan Orech, Safun, okay? Safun is we eat the afikomen, right? So that before, you know, stop the average person in the street. Well, don't stop anybody now. But ask the average person and ask him, what's afikomen? So afikomen means the matzah at the end of the meal. But it's really a bit of a misnomer because the original word afikomen appears in that Mishnah, which we say to the Ben Chacham, Ein maftirin achar pesach afikomen. And Shmuel extended it to Ein maftirin achar matzah afikomen. And afikomen means either we don't eat the dessert or whatever. Afikomen doesn't mean the matzah itself that you eat. However, that's how Chazal referred to it. Tosus calls it like that. I printed in Source 28, the Shulchan Aruch. in Siman Tov Ayin Zayin of Aruch Chaim, okay, says Dinei Achilas Afikomen. The Shulchan Aruch calls the Afikomen the Achilas Afikomen. So apparently, we had some type of transition. We used to be that you don't eat anything after that Korban Pesach, and as Shmuel extended it, you don't eat anything after the matzah that comes at the end of the meal. That matzah now became called the Afikomen. Okay, if you say Afikomen means the sweets, and certainly if you say it means utensils, the name doesn't make any sense. But if we're assuming like Shmuel, would Rabbi Yochanan agree with Shmuel, and therefore Rav's in the minority, okay, so we assume that it means the sweets and the treats and the goodies that we have for dessert. So, all right, somehow the matzah took on that name, which is just interesting, okay? That's the name that we call it. The truth of the matter is, and others, again, it's not just others call it also. Others wonder about it. The Levush in Siman Tov Ayin Ches, Sif Aleph, in 29, the Levush wonders. He says, again, he says, Kevan Shafikomen Zechel Pesa Nechel Asova, No again Shalachel Shum Dover, Afilu Peros Achar Achilas Afikomen. He says, since the matz at the end comes as a Zecher to what they used to eat, the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, so we today don't have the Korban Pesach, we eat the matzah at the end of the meal instead. So, just like you couldn't eat after the Pesach, it's not proper to have any fruits or any other dessert after Afikomen. And he says, Kedei Shishar Tam Afikomen Mefiv. Again, the Afikomen matzah flavor stays in your mouth. The Karu Afikomen, he's a little wondering, why is it called Afikomen? So he says, Al Shem HaMishnah refers to that Mishnah, Ein Maftir HaChapres Afikomen. Okay, so he just says somehow Afikomen means Afikumone, and there's different reasons, meaning Masika. He kind of struggles with why it became called Afikomen, but the name stuck because it relates to that Mishnah. Even though the word Afikomen per se in that Mishnah doesn't mean the matzah, and it certainly doesn't mean the Korban Pesach you eat at the end of the meal, but since that's the subject, and we have that din that applies to this food, you're not eating it afterwards, so the food somehow became known as the Afikomen. And that's how the Levush writes. The Aruch HaShulchan, is more bothered. Again, I don't want to, dwell on this point too much, but the Aruch HaShulchan in 30, he writes straight out, in some Tofai and Chesiv Gimel, Vida. Afikomen ain't lezetam lechor. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Aruch HaShulchan doesn't pull punches. He just says the fact that we call that matzah afikomen, it was strange. It doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So he also tries to, he says because the word afikomen means meaning masika, the sweets, the desserts. Imkain eich karnos afikomen. Why do we call the matzah afikomen? Well, we do. Mitzarich aloma the hachmish afikomen afikumon klomar rag ze hamacha v'lo yoser afikumon mana just means a portion, a serving. Like Mishnah mana, take out this, bring out this, meaning the matzah. Okay,
Rabbi, he's not wrong at all. He's totally correct according to all the pshat.
Again, the word, the way it's used in that mission, that's not what it means. But that's what he's saying. The word afikuman means take out a portion, take out something.
Okay,
look, the Aruch HaShulchan says it. Maybe, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. Just it's just not interesting. That name is used. Now, the question is, what would be the reason, as we say, behind? So we already meant to mention a reason to keep the flavor in your mouth. The truth is that Tosus and Pesachim, Kuf Chaf Amar Aleph, Dibra Maskel Maftirin, okay, which you have in Source 31, okay? So he wonders why, again, analyzes further why Shmuel made that jump. Because he says another point. One of the things, we had it in the Pasuk that I quoted earlier in the Parak Yud Beis of Shmuel's Pasuk Mem Vav, back in Source 9. At the end of the Pasuk, which says you have to eat the Korban Pesach in one house, not move around, it says, Ve'etzem lo sish bruvo. Not allowed to break the bone. That's a rule. There's a cost of you can't break a bone. A lot of times when people are eating, even you have a good steak, a good lamb chop, you like to chew on the bone. You bite a little bit to get the marrow out and so on. You're not allowed to do that with the Korban Pesach. What's a Xeris HaKosov? Not allowed to do that with the Korban Pesach. So Tosus points out there in source number 31 that that's one of the reasons why by the Korban Pesach, the concern is to eat it when you're already somewhat full. The ispa mishum shviras etzem, because we want to make sure, it's almost like a syog, it's almost like a safety precaution. Don't come to the Korban Pesach meat when you're starved, because you may end up chewing too much and breaking the bone and violating that pasuk. Okay, so Tosa says that's one of the reasons why we want to eat the Korban Pesach, as we say, avasova, okay, which doesn't really apply to matzah. And matzah, there's no concern, obviously, that you're going to break any bones. But then Tosa says, but there's another reason, okay, And that is the other reason is to be inashe tam matzo Pesach b'fiv. So the first reason why we ate the carbon Pesach at the end of the meal doesn't really apply to matzah. Shmuel would not have been able to make that jump if that were the only reason, because you have a specific reason why you can't eat the meat from the carbon Pesach when you're ravenous and hungry, why you better have it when you're somewhat satiated because you want to break the bone. But that doesn't apply to matzah. So with matzah, we have the other reason, and that is, as Tosis concludes there in the source of 31, to be inan she tam matzah or Pesach b'fiv. You have that flavor in your mouth. Okay, now, the Ramban, in the Mechamas Hashem, on page Chof Vav Beis, in the pages of the Riv, okay, in source number 32, he brings up what exactly is it, in other words, we need to understand, is that really the reason? In other words, it's so that you won't eat anymore, or keep the flavor in your mouth. So the Ramban talks about this a little bit, and he says in the next source, in the 32, okay, he says you're not allowed to eat even that which is kinuach. Kinuach is like dessert, to clean your palate, so to speak. All right, and he quotes that's the machlokas in Shmuel and Yochanan. Okay, he elaborates that actually there's a machloka. We lump Shmuel and Yochanan together. The Ramban elaborates and says actually I may not agree because there may be a disagreement. They both agree that it has to do with not eating food. But what is it that you can't eat? You can't eat anything, or you can't eat, certain types of fruits and so on and so forth. And the Ramban posits that if you hold one way, so then certain types of Yochanan says, or Shmuel perhaps says, nuts and raisins, things like that, which are not so, this taste is not so powerful. So those things perhaps you would be allowed to eat afterwards. And Rabbi Yochanan would say, not even that. So it just says there's perhaps a further machlokas. Okay, but in any event, Kolbo, also in Siman Nun 33, Umatzah Doraisa Tzar Gamkein Sheyochal Menach Kizayis Bachona Sheyishor Tam Afiv Vein Maftir Nachamatzah Vikom. We have that same concern according to these Rishonim. I just want to mention, though, that not everybody necessarily agrees. Okay, the Baal Amor in the Chav Vav Beis, the page of 34, doesn't like this too much. He says, and he says, Yesha Pirshu. Okay, 34. Yesha Pirshu Tamash Adavar Kadesha Pesach Nechal Asova and so on. And he should have also another thing, you want to be satiated when you say Hala. That's all good. And he brings up the issue of breaking the bones and so on. The Ein Tamzem Maspik Lanu. I don't find that satisfactory. Okay, because the concern, he says, is that if a person is going to be continuously allowed to eat, you'll have a bite, you'll sit back, you'll have a piece of Pesach cake, you'll sit back, and what may happen? You'll end up forgetting to say hallel. Remember, the Seder is not over with the meal and benching, okay? Afterwards, it's still hallel, the rest of hallel. Normally speaking, on a regular Friday night, regular Yontif, we eat and we relax and we enjoy and then we eat some more and then we bench and then it's over. So it's easy, or it's at least a possibility, the Baal Amor, so a person could forget about Hallel. Never mind Nirtza now. I mean, Nirtza is, I once gave a different drush, that Nirtza is kind of like almost appended to Hallel, but part of Hallel. So Hallel Nirtza at the end of the Seder. So that's, we don't want to forget about that. So the concern is you're going to have a meal, so then you'll doze off and this and that, and you may forget about Hallel. That's what the Baal Amor brings up, okay? And therefore, he says that the concern of not eating, the limit on how much you can eat, is you'll keep the flavor of the Pesach and the matzah in your mouth, so you'll remember, I still have to do something that relates to the Yontif, right? If I keep that flavor in my mouth, I'll remember, oh, it's not over yet. Okay, Pesach's not over yet. I'm sorry, the Seder's not over yet. If I have what I normally have for dessert, we have a cup of tea, and then you have some, light refreshments or whatever, and a bowl of a fruit cup or whatever, or ice cream, or Pesach ice cream, whatever, part of ice cream, so then you might end up forgetting about Hallel. That's the Baal Amor, so that's a very different concern. The Ravid in the Sefer Kosov Shom on the Baal Amor there, Pesachim Chof Omer Beis, disagrees, said this makes no sense. Omer Avram, Be'emes Ubor Zeha Tam, Below Tam, Below Reach. Play on words. This reason has no taste, no flavor. That is wrong. Okay, but the Baal Amor does say it. The Meiri In Source 36, he says, "Bisman azeh," that's a question. We're not allowed to eat it, not allowed to eat after Afikoman or not. And he said, "That's a machlokes," and Shmuel says, "You're not allowed to."
What's the Ravid's objection? He's saying you can eat. Like
doesn't say that. He just says that's not the Ikar reason. He doesn't go further. But presumably the reasons we'll have to see. We'll have to see what would his reasons be. We'll see in a second. Good point.
Okay, sorry.
And we got to say the Miri, okay, says he also that just it's not only the Balamor. He says like Balamor Shalishach Sidro. Okay, we're afraid you'll get mixed up if you can continue to eat and so on. But there is another reason altogether for this, and this is something that Rav Soloveitchik suggested. Okay, but just before I get to that, okay, it relates to this. We know Rav Soloveitchik gave a different reason why it's important to keep the flavor of the matzah in the olden days of the Korban Pesach in your mouth. He says as follows, but we'll relate to it today. There is a statement in the Mechilta 37. Mechilta Mishmol, Parshas Bo, Masechta Pesach, Parshas Yud Zayin. Right, Vigadat Alavincha. You'll recognize this 37 because we have it almost the same exact expression in the Haggadah right after the four sons. It says Vigadat Alavincha. Shomea Ani Merosh Chodesh. We have the text Yochol Merosh Chodesh. Right, that same. I might have thought Rosh Chodesh. Tamalom Ba'amahu. Iba Amahu. Yochol Mod Yom. Tamalomar. Bavur Zeh B'Shoshesh Matzo Mor Menachol Fanecha Al Shulchanecha. We have in the Haggadah almost the same phrase as this Mechilta. Okay, so the halacha is that you're supposed to, according to this mechilta that we say in the Seder, more or less the same language, you're supposed to say the Haggadah, Sipris Yisrael, when? I would have thought maybe for Rosh Chodesh, HaChodesh Alachem Rosh Chodeshim. No, it says Bayom Ahu. So maybe it means that day when you bring the Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach in the afternoon. We call it Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. No, it means Bavur Zeh, it means B'shah Shem Matzo Mor Menachol Fanecha. In other words, the mitzvah of the Seder and Tzipri Yisrael Tzrayim has to be performed when you have Matzah and Mor in front of you. That's the din. In fact, there's even a question, I was actually discussing with somebody this week, because again, unfortunately, a lot of people have to have their Seder alone this year. So there's an older person who can't drink wine and he can't have grape juice either for medicinal reasons. So you're allowed to have what's called Chamar Medina, you know, a coffee or tea or something like that for the abrakosas as well, but you have it like for Abdullah. But what if you don't have anything? So you can, but Kiddush is a question. So the Shulchan Aruch says in Simtof Beginal Sivala, Mishain lo yayin melo pesa mekadosh ala pas. Okay, and you have no choice then but to eat some of the matzah, eat more of it later. But the Bir HaGroa says, strictly speaking, it's in Tov Pegimel 39, Umivarech, Shalom Niskan Rak Achar HaGodah. Except for that extraordinary circumstance where someone doesn't have wine, we don't eat the matzah till after the Sipri, after the Haggadah. It's really strange, actually, because on regular Friday night, you know, even if you have lots of Divrei Torah or lots of speeches at the table, you make, you wash, you make kiddush, you wash, you make hamotzi, you start the meal. And then you can have as many drushes as you like. So why don't we do the same thing on Pesach? So no, it has to be that the mitzvah of matzah is really rak achar ha-hagodah. Okay, the mitzvah, to eat the matzah's got to be eaten, strictly speaking, after the hagodah, says the Bir HaGroa. Okay, again, if someone has the wine, that's an extraordinary circumstance. But under ordinary circumstances, you have to eat the matzah and the maror after the hagodah. Okay, and again, you look in the Shulchan Aruch Harav that I printed, the next source 40. I don't want to go overboard with it, but he also says, Lefi Shemin Hadin, at the end of the first line there, it's if base. Lefi Shemin Hadin, Ein Nochon Klal, Lecho Matzah Umor Kodem Haggadah. It's not right to eat the Matzah before the Haggadah. Why? He says in parentheses, Shara HaMatzah BeHaggadah, BeHaggadah, BeMitzvah HaGadah, rather. Nemar Vigadat Aluch HaMahu, Lemor Bavur Zeh, V'Dorshu Chacham Bavur Zeh, Shemats Umor Malach Lefanecha. Okay, what's all this got to do with us? So it's interesting. The Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, Perek Tzayin of Dvarim Pasuk Gimel 41, that matzah is nicknamed Lechem Oni. Lechem Oni, right? Lo Sochem Chameitz, Shivas Yom Tovala Matzos, Lechem Oni. What does that expression mean, Lechem Oni? So there's several different interpretations of the Gemara as to what's meant by Lechem Oni. One is that's a poor, the word Oni, a poor person. Right, $28 a pound, so it's a poor person's bread, right? All right, it doesn't mean the expense, it means it's flour and water, poor ingredients. Okay, limited ingredients. But Shmuel has a different interpretation, 42. Psochem lamed vav mod aleph, domar Shmuel, lechem oni, the word oni, not from poor and not from inoy, like stricken, affliction, but rather lechem she'onin olav dorm harbe. Oneh from the word like declare, you make a declaration. V'aniso v'amarta, shomea ka'oneh, right? Answering something or declaring something. This is called lechem oni. It is bread, it is food, concerning which we make many declarations. We say many things, we talk a lot about this. What does it mean? Rashi explains, 43, we say the halel and the whole haggadah over this food, over the matzah. Okay, now, one second. So, that's what's called lechem only, because we have halel and the haggadah over this food. So it's interesting. Okay, the Rambam therefore says, in Perek Vav of Hilchos Chametz Matzah Halacha Yud Aleph, it says, we don't eat anything after the Afikoman, right? You can't have anything after matzah. Afilu klayos goes in, even little nuts and stuff like that. Okay, except for the two kosas Yeruchim pointed out before. And ba'ochel kazayis matzah b'chono posek. That's the Rambam Perek Vav of Hilchos Halacha Yud. And a Perek Ches of Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Halacha Tes, 45. The Rambam writes, again, you don't have anything after the Korban Pesach, after the matzah, and that should be the last thing you eat. So, one second. The Rav wondered, but if Rashi's right, Rashi in 43, says that matzah is called lechem oni, because why? Because onim olav zorm harbe, and olim olav zorm harbe includes both this haggadah and halel. But Rabosai, when do we say halel? We say halel after the meal. What matzah? What more? It's gone already. I mean, I guess you could have pieces on the table, leftovers, but the mitzvah is done already. Okay? Haggadah, okay, like we saw before. We don't eat the matzah or more until after the haggadah, because you have to have matzah mor menachal fanecha. But according to Rashi's interpretation, matzah mor menachal fanecha includes not only the haggadah, but halal also. And halal we don't say till afterwards.
It doesn't say that it includes halal, Rabbi. It doesn't
Rashi
say
does. Look at Rashi. Rashi, 43. Sha'olah dar harbi, sha'gomim olav sahalel. 43. Gomim olav sahalel. So Rashi at least includes halal here, but if that's why it's called lechem oni, and so where do we have matzah when we say halal? It's already eaten. So the Rav said, "You're right. We have to eat it. We follow that order. But when you have the flavor in your mouth, it's as though the matzah is still there." That's the Rav suggested as to why the practice is even by matzah. We want to maintain the flavor in our mouth, so al koponim, even though the actual matzah is not there because we've eaten it already. Okay, we're.
That's a very big chiddush. That's a very big.
Tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. Very interesting. I thought it was interesting. It's an interesting chiddush. Okay, that's now massive, just to go over some general dinim and then come back to a different point. So the question is, what exactly is it that you're not allowed to eat after the Afikoman? So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch and some Tov Ayin Ches Sif Aleph 46, Shulchan Aruch there says, Ech Afikoman Ein Lecho Shum Davar. You can't eat anything. You cannot eat anything. Okay? Now the Chok Yaakov says, that's the Shulz Yaakov, the Yaakov, one of the Minchas Yaakov, Tov Ayin Ches Sif Aleph 47 writes, Ein Lecho B'dieved Im Ochal, if you did eat something, let's say you forgot, after the Afikoman, I don't know how anyone could think about eating anything after the Afikoman. You know, I can barely eat the Afikoman. I don't want to speak to anybody else, but, I've never approached the Afikoman and thought to myself, oh, goody, now I can eat another piece of matzah. You know, I mean, we had already a lot of matzah with the two kezesim by the beginning, motzi matzah, and by the korech, and now we had, Baruch Hashem, a delicious meal. Somehow, I don't know, matzah Afikoman, well, we do it, but if someone wants to eat, if someone by mistake ate after the Afikoman, okay, so you don't have to eat another piece of matzah. So Paskin the Chok Yaakov, the Aruch HaShulchan also says like that in Simon Tov Ayin Chesiv Gimel, but the Yevet, Im Ochal Dover Ma'ach Afikoman, Einam Echuv Lachso Lechal Afikoman. The Mishabrua doesn't agree. It's Sivkot Nalef of Simon Tov Ayin Ches. He says, but the Yevet, Ochal Achav Shum Dover, Yachzor V'yochal Kazayis Matzah Shmur, L'Shem Afikoman. You better not eat anything after the Afikoman, because if you do, you're going to have another piece of matzah. Okay, so if you can tolerate it. So that's the idea. Some of the people may remember years ago, the rabbi in Avos Torah was Rabbi Isaac Swift, Zichron Livracha. He was a rabbi for many years before Rabbi Golden. And he was a very powerful speaker. He once gave a drosha. It was one of these affairs where they were like, he was a keynote speaker, but before him there were 10 other speakers. And by the time he got up, you can imagine no one was interested in hearing yet another speech. And he was intelligent about it. He got up and he said, right now at this time, he was from South Africa, so he had a very, British accent. But he said, right now I feel like the Afikoman, okay, completely superfluous and utterly indigestible. Okay, that's how some people feel after the Gomer. Anyway, the Mishnah Berurah says you eat something afterwards, you're going to have to go ahead and eat it again. So I would advise people not to eat afterwards. Now, of course, we do something. We do eat something after Afikoma. Yeruchim alluded to it before. Okay, and namely, we drink the abrikosas. We drink two of the four abrikosas. That's what the Rambam writes in 59. The Rambam says, okay, we have to drink the third and fourth cups, and so on, and we say the Bar Pergofen, but after that, okay, the two cups of wine, you have to drink. That's a mitzvah. Nothing to do about it. But you shouldn't eat anything, and you shouldn't even drink anything other than the Arba Kosas, and after that, okay, and after that, nothing, not even water. I'm sorry, other than water, the whole rest of the night. That's how the Shulchan Aruch passes as well. It's in the Tav Pei Aleph, Sif Aleph. Achar Arba Kosas, Eino Roshay Lishtosai, no more wine, Elamayim, just water. And the Ramor writes, Shulchan Amashkin, Dinan Kiayin. And any other drink is like wine. That means no tea, no juice, nothing, just water means water, the bare bones, water means water, and that's it. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah says in 61, there are a number of different reasons behind this. Okay, a number of different reasons behind this, says the Mishnah Berurah. Harbi Tommy H. Bezap Poskim says because the mitzvah, and applies all night. So in a certain sense, the mitzvah. Because on the one hand, one could argue and wonder, well, what do you mean? Once the seder's over, like, what's the difference? Okay, once the seder's over, why can't I go ahead to eat or drink anything after the seder's over? So on this point, the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, he says, yeah, but the truth is that in a certain sense, the mitzvah continues because it's still a mitzvah that separates Yisrael Mitzrayim all night long, and to remember the nisim and flows. So therefore, you don't want to drink anything, so you end up getting drunk and so on, or falling asleep maybe faster than you otherwise would, although usually I fall asleep pretty quickly. Anyway, the Eisha Kasu, you don't want to look like you're having more wine, and the Arbakosa is kind of a baltosif problem. Okay. Anyway, so there's a question, and an afkamina will be, what exactly is it they're not supposed to drink? At the end, he writes, we call mokum kosu achonim the ingber vasser, the b'hu adin tei, or apple trink. These are different types of drinks, lakritz, and these things you're allowed to because they're really just fundamentally water. Okay, so he says, even that, l'chatchila you should avoid, but if someone has to, so he says, if it's food, drinks that's not intoxicating, that's not, you know, not a, you know, the intoxicating doesn't mean it makes you drunk, just, you know, some type of a special drink, and that you don't have to be as machmer about. That's Aruch HaShulchan also says in 62, Sin Tov Be'al of Sin Gimel. He also writes, he mentions other drinks. He says, Kol HaMash Yosel Vad Mayim, V'lakritz U'mei Zangvil, Ingber Vasser, Mutter, V'chein Etzeno Seltzin, okay, I guess it means seltzer, Limonad, okay, lemonade, so certain drinks, if a person is very thirsty and so on, he would allow the prichorosh. Also, in Siman Tov Pei Aleph Sif Aleph, in source number 63, also mentions other types of drinks. At the end, he mentions v'icha adavar bor lahat delishos hakave, coffee. Okay, would also be allowed. So some of the poskim have that leniency, that you can drink other things. Okay, so the Rav in the Tshuvas HaPesachim, Siman Kuf Yud Beis, writes this whole din, that we don't drink anything after Arba Kosas is not really Mikra Halacha, it's only a minig anyway, and maybe you can be a little bit lenient with it. The Birka Yosef has an interesting point. Okay, again, we know that today we wouldn't do it anyway, but they raise the question about smoking. Okay, today we know it's dangerous to smoke, so we don't smoke anyway. But the one time, and many of us will remember, Yontif, you're allowed to smoke because you're allowed to light the fire from or kindle something from an already existing fire. Shabbos, you can't smoke a cigarette. But Yontif, you were allowed to from the point of view of Hilchos Yontif. Today, we know that cigarettes are dangerous, so you shouldn't smoke at all. But before they knew that, people used to attack a smoke on Yontif. So the Chidah and the Birka Yosef, and that's him in Tov Pei Aleph, so Cotton Aleph, in 65, he says, he asks coffee because he thinks it'll take the flavor away, and tutin, and cigarettes. Okay, and saying the Shari Tshuva in the Sim Tov Kuv Yud Aleph in Sim Cotton Hay. Also, he says, I generally thought you shouldn't smoke on Yontif anyway. Again, not for health reasons, but even for Hilchos Yontif reasons. He says that it's not right to smoke. But he says, after the Seder, you certainly shouldn't because of Hafagas Tam Matzah. because you're getting rid of the matzah flavor. So again, if that's the ikkar reason, that it's a matter of maintaining the flavor, so then something like a cigarette probably would be usher. Okay, now, the Balamor, though, in 67, the Balamor does say, and again, he had, remember, Lishitoso, the Balamor earlier said, and the Miri agreed with him, that the reason we don't eat after the Afikoman is not because of flavor in the mouth, and not be, but because you don't want to forget the Tehalel, right? You don't want to, you know, you don't want to think the whole meal is over. You'll eat more, and then eventually you'll go to sleep and forget about Halal. That's what the Balamor says. So he's based on that. He says, once you did say Halal already, and notice what he says there in 66, in 67, I mean. He says, Acha Shagomar Salam Malano Allah Bechomashi Asim. Afterwards, who cares? None of our business. Pesach's over. I mean, not Pesach, but the Seder's over. The mitzvah's done. So you want to sit down, have a cup of tea. You want to eat something afterwards. The Balamor would say, no problem whatsoever. It's only a problem so long as the Seder is going on. So long as you haven't finished a halal yet. And we're afraid you'll forget about it. But once it's over, he says, Ocho, want to have more matzah? Go ahead. Because of Ocho, Kalalaila. What's the Avera? He says sarcastically, we heard about a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach night. We never heard about an iser to eat matzah on Pesach night. They can't eat and so on after. So therefore, the Balamor kind of dismisses that. But that's what she taught. So, but many, as we said, don't agree with him. We'll finish off this one interesting thing, the Avnei Nezer, in source 72. I'll give you the background quickly, because it's getting late and I just want to finish up. The Avnei Nezer has a fascinating tshuva, a fascinating shita, the famous Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer was Sakhat Shuvah Rebbe. In Chelek Arachayim Simon Shin Pei Aleph, he discusses the following point. You know, the Shulchan Aruch says, we read it earlier, you have to eat the Afikoman. I have it down in 73. Simon Tov Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph. The Ezor Lechol Kodem Chatzos. It is proper to eat the Afikoman before Chatzos, before midnight, which is around 1 o'clock nowadays. Okay, this week. So 1 o'clock. I forgot the exact time. I haven't done this one for my shul yet. Around 1:02. Something like 12:58. Around 1 o'clock. So you have to finish the Afikoman by then. Okay, why? So you look in the Chumash, jump back to 68 for a second. You look in the Torah, the Pasuk says, "The Ochlos Habosar Balayla Hazeh." We eat the meat in the Kormesar that night. Later on, there's a Pasuk, and that's Parak Yudbeis, Pasuk Ches, Pasuk Yudbeis of Parak Yudbeis says, "V'avarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazeh." Same expression, Laila Hazeh. And we know it happened when Pasuk Chavtes, Vahi Bachti Alayla. It was in the middle of the night. Okay? As Hashem had said, Kachatzos Alayla, right? Because Baruch will come around midnight. Moshe said around midnight because we don't know the exact time. That's what Rashi says in 70. But in any event, the Sheet of Avalazan Ozaiah is 71 in Pesachim Kumchav Amud Beis is that you must eat the Korban Pesach before midnight. Because it's Exer Shabbat, Balayla Azeh, just like that was Chatzos, this is also Chatzos. You only have until Chatzos. You have to make sure to finish the Afikoman before Chatzos. So even if you say it is drinking, make sure you eat the Afikoman before Chatzos. The truth is, Ramos says if you can, you should also even finish Challah before Chatzos, which is a little more difficult, but there's no reason, you know, one should try that also. We sometimes make it, sometimes don't. Okay, anyway, the Avnezer says, but I don't understand. One second. It's in Tshuvas Sim Shim Pei Aleph, in Tshuvas Avnezer. He says, it should be that you should eat at midnight. If you're trying to draw the parallel and you're saying that, well, the Afikoman is eating the matzah, right? The Korban Pesach, the last thing you eat, the Afikoman, is modeled after that Pesach or the Gzeres HaKosev or the Gzeres Shavah. And it says Balayla Hazeh came at midnight. So it should be at midnight that you eat, not by midnight, but at midnight. So based on that, the Avnei Nezer has an interesting, he says, Eni Chalami, that's the din. That at midnight, the meat from the Korban Pesach has to be eaten by that point. And the same thing by Bizman Hazeh, the matzah. But he said, you can imagine what it was like by Chassidish Rebbe, what if they weren't up to the Afikoman in time? So he has a famous point, you can make a Tanai, you can make a condition. And he'll say like this, whatever you're doing, let's say in the middle of the meal, okay, in the middle of the meal, you just had the soup or whatever, and now you realize it's almost, it's almost nighttime, it's almost midnight. So what are you going to do now? Okay, so I remember once a friend of mine went to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, you know, Zichrono Livracha, for a Seder. And apparently, you know, discussions went on and it was getting late. And so they had already their matzah and he realized almost midnight. And so he said to his wife, maybe we'll just, you know, we had the matzah in the morning and the korach, so people are full anyway. Maybe we'll just have a little bit of soup and we'll go right to, you know, the Afikoman. And she was, my friend said, very displeased with that. What do you mean? I've been cooking. I cooked a whole beautiful meal. You better work something out. Anyway, Avnei Nezer has it tonight to help you work it out. He says, when it comes to the stroke of midnight, take a piece of matzah. Even stop your meal. Just have a piece of matzah and say like this. If The halacha is like a beloved says, you have to have the matzah eaten by midnight. Here I am eating my matzah. And this should count as the afikomen. But if the halacha is, I can eat afterwards, so after midnight's over, so this is not count my afikomen, this is just a bite of matzah, I'll eat later on. So it's a famous tanai of the Avdin Ezer. So I talk about the afikomen, I wanted to make sure to include it. Just to finish up, okay, again, the more accepted reason, and we saw a number of different, you know, questions. Can you eat after afikomen? Can maybe some say only you can't eat, but you can drink. You can only drink the dalakosas. All the things that we saw. Okay. Question is just. And by the way, the Chok Yaakov in 75 says it applies as well. The second night, both nights, the same thing. Okay. Just al derech hadrush to finish up. Why is it so important to keep the flavor of the matzah in your mouth? What's that about? The Rav had his explanation, although that would expire once the challah is over also. So we assume you shouldn't drink anything, certainly shouldn't eat anything. Some say drinking is also included. Some say we discuss different types of drinks. Okay, but what's the idea just to conceptually? So this will finish. I wanted to say the following, and I once said this, and then I found similar in the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer, Chelek Or Chaim Sim Mem Hei, okay, says it a little bit also. Okay. There is a Gemara in Pesachim, Kuf Yud Gimel Aleph, 76. Amar B'Yochanan, Shlosha Minocha Olam Haba. There are three people who have a share in Olam Haba, a good share in Olam Haba. I always say there are a number of these Gemaras, and I don't think it means if the guy's an axe murderer, but he does these three things, he's in Olam Haba. It means a good person, but these are three things which are, you know, good for Olam Haba. One is Elohim Adar Be'eretz Yisrael. We got that. Two, Hamagad L'Bonav L'Talmud Torah. Raise your children, Talmud Torah, got that too. Third one, Hamavdil Alayayin B'Motzei Shabbosos. You make Havdol on wine, Motzei Shabbos. If you had to ask which of these is not like the others, I mean, you know, what are you talking about? Bavdel Alayan Motzei Shabbos. So Gemara asks, Mayi, what's that about? Well, means says the Gemara, the Meshayer Mekiddush Alavdalto. You leave over wine from Kiddush to Havdol. And the Rashbam explains it means some guys only comes into Shabbos, only has a little bit of wine. We can't really relate to it because we have plenty of wine. But at one time, the days of the Gemara, wine was expensive. Not everybody had wine. So if you have wine for Kiddush, use your head. You know you have another mitzvah tomorrow night. So don't drink all the wine now with Kiddush. Save some of the wine for Havdol. So somebody who thinks ahead, he's that alert regarding mitzvahs, that he plans ahead to do mitzvahs, that's someone who has a chelek olam haba. That's the idea of this Gemara. He leaves over some of the wine from Kiddush to Havdalah to make sure he can do the next mitzvah as well. But I'd like to suggest al derech hadrush that it doesn't just mean Kiddush and Havdalah in the sense of the prayer Kiddush, the prayer Havdalah, the bracha of Kiddush and Havdalah we say Friday night and Motzei Shabbos. But rather, there's an inyan to be Mishayer Mikiddusha, to take from Kiddusha and infuse the Havdalah, the chol. Take the Kiddusha, Mishayer, leave over from the Kiddusha into that which is inherently less kadosh. And again, Ksav Sofer says a little bit, okay? In other words, the idea is you should, not just a matter of leaving over wine, but you take the kedusha of Shabbos and you let it infuse the weekday. The Ksav Sofer writes, the person who has call your most achol, give your most Shabbos. You star men a kedusha gam b'chol. You can't treat the whole week like Shabbos. It's just not Shabbos. You have to go to work, have things to do. But some of the kedusha should linger from Shabbos into the chol till next Shabbos. That's a chelik. That's a person has a chelik on my ball. So I just like to suggest maybe that's the idea of keeping tam matzah in your mouth. Let some of the kedusha of the mitzvah of matzah linger past the seder. And not like the Balamor and others want to say, the Seder's over, yes, I've done my mitzvahs. Thank you, Rabbi, I did everything I had to do. But I want to take that Kedusha that the matzah represents, and I want that to infuse beyond. And not only the rest of the night, but the next day, you know, Tom Matzah, right? I keep it lingering as long as I can. I want to take from the Kedusha of the matzah and let it linger past the time of the mitzvah. And we could say it regarding the whole holiday of Pesach. We want to take the Kedusha of the days of Pesach and let them infuse our future days that come after Pesach. That's the idea. So we want to have the flavor. Keep that flavor in your mouth. Keep remembering what the matzah was like, what the mitzvah was like that we do on Leil HaSeder. This year we have a tremendous challenge on the Leil HaSeder. Tremendous challenge, you know, to make this a meaningful Seder. Some of us are, you know, by ourselves or just with one or two other people, maybe unlike a usual Pesach Seder. But nonetheless, we have to realize this is a day which is infused with Kedusha. The whole Seder is a mitzvah infused with Kedusha. We have to take that Kedusha, and even though perhaps, You know, many of us are, you know, we have anxiety now and we're depressed a little bit. We're unsure of what the future is going to be. We all have those emotions. It's perfectly normal. Okay. We don't know what's going on. It's unprecedented. You know, the whole world, you know, should be experiencing this. It's just an unprecedented event, But we have an opportunity now, next Wednesday night, you know, to begin to have a Pesach Seder. We should take the beauty of the Kedusha and let that infuse the future days. And hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshua Sashem, Karafayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring about the Yeshua, Benisan Nigalu, Benisan Asin Ligal. I wish everybody a Chag Kosher V'Sameach. Once again, take the opportunity, if you'd like, and you're available this coming Sunday evening at 8 o'clock at the same Zoom channel. I'll be giving a shiur also on the Pesach Seder as an expression of Emunah. I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and I don't see you, I don't speak to you, certainly a Chag Kosher V'Sameach and a Chag Bori V'Sameach, a healthy and good Yom Tov. Good night, and good Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi.